The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Welcome to this special edition of Footsteps to Heaven. It's a special edition because I have with me today a very special guest, and his name is Bill Snyder. The reason why I have him on my show today is because it's Advent, and he has written a book of Advent meditations, and we're going to share that with you today. But first, let me explain to you how I came across Bill Snyder. He is actually the editor for the podcast show Footsteps to Heaven. We met by divine appointment at a charismatic conference a couple of years ago, and we've become great friends, and I really value the teamwork that we do together. And he recently gave me this brand new book that he had published called A Contemplative Las Posadas. And I said, what is that? What's Las Posadas? And he is going to share that with you today. We're both going to share that with you today. It is a set of meditations for Advent, and we're actually going to use this podcast prayerfully to provide for you a taste of what these meditations are like, because both Bill and I want you to have a really awesome Advent and for this Christmas to be your best one yet in your relationship with Christ. Bill, by the way, is the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, a nonprofit ministry that he began in 2012 for Catholic youth and young adults. His greatest desire is to inspire and challenge young people to live their faith boldly. So, do you know a young person? Maybe you're a young person yourself. Maybe you've got young adult kids, children. And so, this is a show that you may want to listen in on and you recommend to your young adults in your life. But I tell you, I enjoy his shows as well, and I'm by no means a young adult. So I do recommend that you listen to his podcast show. It's called Young Catholics Respond. It's a weekly podcast show. It's also on radio. You can find it on breadboxmedia.com, which is the host for this Footsteps to Heaven podcast show. He's also the producer of the weekly EWTN radio program called The Bear Wozniak Adventure. His newest publication, A Contemplative Las Posadas, is what this episode is all about. Bill, tell me a little bit about what this book is. What is this book about? What is Las Posadas?
So the Las Posadas is a Advent tradition that is primarily celebrated in Mexico, and it reenacts the journey of Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as they're carrying Jesus from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It is that Advent tradition. What happens in Mexico and other countries, Latin American countries, is that they actually travel from house to house using a song, a traditional song that requests lodging, only to be met with rejection after rejection after rejection, until finally a reluctant innkeeper or person in the house says, welcome into my home, to kind of symbolize the welcoming of the one innkeeper that had space in the stable for the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph to give birth to our Savior.
I think that is such a really neat way to have a community celebration of Advent, community meditations. It's a novena, right? It's nine different meditations. right?
Yeah. What happens in a lot of countries is that they do this for 9 consecutive nights.
And in my culture, in our culture, Bill, you know, here in the United States, I can't imagine people giving 9 evenings of their time as a preparation for Christmas. But I think what an awesome thing to do if we would do it. I mean, what an awesome thing to do. I would love to see this tradition, that started in Mexico. Is that correct? I know it's in other Latin American countries as well.
Yes. Yeah. It mainly started in Mexico, but then it's bled over into other cultures as well in Latin American society. But really, Mexicans and Mexicans that I've come into contact with through my ministry and working with them as a youth minister have really embraced this in their culture as they live here in America as well. So it mainly Mexican, but other cultures in Latin America do have versions of it, or they do kind of, you know, have little spin-off traditions of this particular novena.
And what you've done, Bill, is to make it easy for everybody to do, because you've turned it into a set of meditations people can do in their own homes. You know, it's because people do it traditionally, it's done in the evenings, and they go from home to home each evening. But so you recommend that it's like you told me before this show began that you recommend it being done in the evening, but it can be done at any time of a person's convenience, one meditation a day, or it's a small, short book. The meditations are short. A person could do it all in one day.
Yes. I mean, I wrote it as a novena and really to contemplate on the themes of the Posada song, the traditional Posada song. So each day there's a new reflection. And yeah, you can do it within, you know, it's a 2 or 3 minute read each and every day. So, you know, put it next to your bedside and do it before you go to bed. And, you know, it's no outside walking required. But if you did want to do it that way, you certainly could include it in your Posada tradition. But you don't have to do it like that. It is just a way to, contemplate on the themes of this tradition that are presented in this Posada song, this traditional Posada song that is sung going house to house to house.
And even if a person doesn't know the particular song, the words of the song are included in your book, but the melody is not,
right.
And it's not a song that I've heard before. It's really a Spanish song. And you've got it translated into English. But I can envision this easily be adapted by any parish. I mean, for example, what if, and I'm saying this because I'm hoping that some of my listeners will act on this and do something with this. I can envision, for example, different stations set up in the parish, just like Stations of the Cross for Lent. Why not make the Stations of Las Posadas during Advent, Stations of the journey of Mary and Joseph to through Bethlehem looking for a place to give birth to Jesus. You could have, for example, set up around the church little tables that have been decorated by people, you know, maybe different groups, different ministries, different communities within the parish each have their own booth, their own table, and they decorate it in whatever way they want to decorate it to represent that this is a home that with a door that Mary and Joseph can knock on and go, you know, and do the meditations at each one of the stations throughout the church. I mean, this could be adapted in many ways. I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, it certainly can be. And I think one of the things that I like about our faith, and maybe the reason why I reflect on it so much, is because we're all on this pilgrimage. We're all on a journey. And I think when we have something to journey along or to walk along, that travel, that pilgrimage is part of the prayer because it echoes our journey to heaven, right? It's this journey. It's this walk. It's this long path that we take. And it's a 90-mile journey from Bethlehem. From Nazareth to Bethlehem. So, you know, there's there's a spirit about you know, moving and walking, even if you're doing it in your mind. I know your ministry has so many amazing resources with the virtual retreats and the VR stuff. So you don't necessarily have to be physically walking, especially here in Wisconsin when it's 7 degrees outside. I know you're a little warmer in Florida, but it's 7 degrees outside at night here tonight. So people starting to walk in December in Wisconsin, probably not the safest and smartest idea.
Yeah. Right. That would be good to do an indoor version of it up there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you mentioned the word pilgrimage. You know, I've been on a few pilgrimages myself and, you know, actual 10-day pilgrimages to the Holy Land, to Rome. And the thing that I learned about doing a pilgrimage is it's the most powerful way to pray because your body is involved in it. It's not just your mind. And although, you know, if we do these meditations from Las Posadas at home by yourself, you know, it like you said, it can be a mental pilgrimage. But if it can be done in a physical way, it's even more powerful. And I just got to put a little plug in for going on pilgrimages. My friends listening to this podcast, if you get a chance, find the chance. Pray and ask the Lord to provide the means. My first pilgrimage, I couldn't afford to go on it at all, and a friend paid for half of it. So the Lord will get you on a pilgrimage if you say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go. And I found that when I took certain prayer requests that I had not been able to see answers to through all the other means of praying that I was doing from my home and getting the prayers of friends and all that, and you know, there's some pretty tough things. When I took that with me on pilgrimage and offered that up at the different places, the different shrines and whatnot, the churches that we entered, by the time I got home, some miracles had happened. So, you know, I learned that when we get our whole body involved in the prayer, which is also the value of fasting, you know, fasting is getting the whole body involved in the prayer. And so, you know, it's the most powerful way to pray I've found. But anyways, that's a little bit of an aside. It's a little bit off topic, but I feel very strongly about that. So I wanted to share that. But what I would like to do right now is take all of us listening to this episode on a little journey, a little pilgrimage mentally, taking you through these meditations. I'm going to read just snippets from each of the 9 meditations, so that you get a sense of what it's like, but also so that you can turn this podcast, as you're listening to it now, into an actual prayer experience. The first day is called A Call to Hope. The theme is A Call to Hope. The single most important event in human history is the incarnation of Jesus our Christ. God has acted upon the earth in many ways prior to and throughout our existence. However, no divine intervention in our earthly affairs is as powerful as God taking on human flesh. This arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, was hoped for by generations upon generations of God's chosen people. It is easy for those of us who have lived more than 2,000 years after the quintessential juncture of heaven and humanity to misunderstand or even take for granted the great sacrifice and humility of God to enter our messy lives and provide a way to salvation. And that's how A Call to Hope begins. The second day is on the theme of triumph over fear, and reading just a snippet of that. Fear is a tireless torrent spewing a distracting message of discouragement and desolation. Faith cannot grow in a heart that is transfixed on the storm. The fruits of the Holy Spirit can only flourish in our souls when we are focused on our Savior. Although the storm may seem to rage endlessly, and the winds constantly howl at us to give up, give in, and be swept away, we make headway and overcome our fears when we trust Jesus and His plan for our lives. The third day, the resilience of peace. Peace can be fleeting, fickle, and fragile. but it has incredible resilience. When we reconcile with one another and our Heavenly Father, it almost seems contagious and spreads quickly from one heart to another. The fourth day, the resonance of rejection. Rejection has consequences and nullifies the gifts God intends to give us through the encounter or relationship. When you reject someone, you make a bold negative statement. Rejection is a surefire way to miss out on the graces and gifts intended for us by God in this life and the joy of heaven in the next. The fifth day, the gift of acceptance. Accepting another person means to look beyond their present circumstances, realize their dignity as a human, and offer a sacrifice of ourselves. Acceptance and agreement are not the same. Jesus is the perfect model. He accepts everyone, but he doesn't always agree with their position or sin. The sixth day, the burden of weariness. Our occupation, human friendships, and interests all have an important God-given purpose and a place in our lives. However, if we give them more time, attention, and energy than our personal relationship with God, we lose the focus of heaven and the purpose of our existence. Without this proper orientation, weariness takes up residence in our hearts as we toil toward a dead end. As omniscient God, armed with this knowledge, Jesus extends the invitation, "Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." The seventh day, the gift of rest. God made us with this profound purpose in mind, to rest with him on the seventh day and enjoy all of creation with him, sharing in an eternal friendship. Rest is a gift from God in this life and the promise of the new life we will share with him in heaven. The type of rest God calls us to is countercultural. It isn't simply taking a day off or activating the do not disturb feature on our smartphones while we sleep. It is spending quality time with him. God wants us to intentionally drop our worries, burdens, and earthly problems at his feet and trust in his goodness and unfathomable mercy. The eighth day, the scourge of intolerance. The key to overcoming intolerance is to respect differences, find common ground, and seek to uncover the good that can come from recognizing that God's grace is at work and is bringing about a greater understanding and awareness of what it means to love unconditionally. The ninth day, the response of mercy. Jesus revealed to Saint Faustina, "Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. All the works of my hands are crowned with mercy." This characteristic separates Christ from all other false gods, false prophets, and pretenders. It is by striving to imitate the greatest attribute of God that we discover our worth through the eyes of the Father. We uncover our purpose as his beloved children, and we reach our goal of eternal life with him in heaven. Therefore, during this Christmas season, let us be people who celebrate with joy the arrival of our Savior by allowing the mercy he has shown us permeate our being, and with humility, demonstrate that mercy to all. Amen.
Amen.
My friends listening to this podcast, I hope that this little bit of sharing of the meditations from Bill's book, A Contemplative Las Posadas, I hope that you have found a closer relationship with God, maybe some healing, maybe some spiritual direction, maybe some hope, something. The Lord is at work in you every time you meditate on his way of looking at life, his way of dealing with problems, his way of finding what you seek from him. Now, Bill, tell us, which of these themes means the most to you and why?
You know, when I reflect on this project, it took me about 3 years to write it from start to finish. And I had a lot going on in my life, obviously, during that period in time. I was doing lots of different things. But I think the most striking reflection for me to write was the fifth day on the gift of acceptance. And the reason I say that is because I truly didn't know what way to turn in writing that reflection. An incredible thing happened. The Holy Spirit literally just gave me the words of this reflection and asked me to do a little bit more research and open my Bible. And so I did, and I was surprised to the section that he wanted me to open the Bible. It was Leviticus, and I can tell you how many hours I have spent reading Leviticus in my life. It's not a whole lot. And, you know, I probably can count it on one finger on my hand. And so I opened the chapter up to Leviticus, and it was all the laws about being unclean. And I was like, well, why, God, are you having me read about being unclean? And it just so happened that as I read the chapter about leprosy, it then was followed by not only leprosy, but childbirth was the next thing that meant uncleanness. And then my thoughts just continued to go from there. As I reflected and meditated, it was, man, what would happen if the Blessed Mother was looked at as having leprosy or being unclean? You know, as each and every house that St. Joseph knocked on, here is the Blessed Mother traveling with him, and one look from the innkeeper would be like, dude, she's about ready to give birth. If she gives birth here, my whole inn is going to be unclean. All the you know, sheets and the bedding and everything. She can't stay here. There's just no way, right? And it was in Scripture, leprosy and childbirth are the two top things that make one unclean. So, you know, and anybody who touches them becomes unclean. And man, what a situation to find yourself in on a 90-mile journey to your hometown, right? And this just unlocked for me a whole new thinking about how this journey unfolded and why there was so much rejection of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph.
Yeah, I found that very interesting too when I read your book. Normally we think about that, you know, they found no room in any of the inns, that no room any place. They found no room anywhere that they went to because Bethlehem was so full of people who were coming to register. You know, they were taking the census and there was no room because it was crowded. But, you know, I think you're right. I think it was definitely the Holy Spirit who led you to Leviticus, Bill, because yeah, how profound is that to think about, that Mary was considered to be unclean, you know, and yet she was the holiest person who ever lived besides Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
So, that's a very interesting thing to meditate on.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, I think the distinction is she wasn't unclean yet, but she was about to become unclean.
Exactly.
And if, you know, imagine this pregnant woman staying there, you know, just moments before getting ready to give birth. I mean, dude, you can't be here. Like, you got to go. And I just keep, you know, that thought keeps coming back to me, you know, constantly throughout this Advent for me. But just how do I need to be more accepting of people, regardless of what's going on in their life? Like, you know, how many unclean people am I just writing off because I've deemed them unclean. You know, am I willing to enter into the mess? Am I willing to enter into the mess of their lives to accept them? It doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but what I have to be able to do is I have to be able to offer the charity and accept them where they are. And
And we're running low on time, but I've got to share a story that really drives home what you're saying there. Many years ago, when my husband and my two little kids and myself, we were attending Mass, and there was a homeless person who came after Mass had already started. She came down the center aisle. She looked like a he with crew cut hair and dressed in army fatigues that were all grungy and everything, and was carrying a paper bag probably with all of her possessions in it. And she came down the aisle and sat herself down in the very front pew. And from where I was sitting, she was very, very noticeable to me and, well, to a lot of people. And I actually thought that she was a plant at first, because the priest's homily was all about accepting people, you know, and loving people where they are at. And I thought he was going to make a point about, you know, what do you think about this person who's just walked in? But he never did. And so after Mass was over, my family, we went over to her to find out how we could help. And we ended up putting her into our car in the back seat with the two kids. And oh my gosh, she hadn't had a shower in a long time. So you can imagine the smell. We actually rolled down our windows in the car because of the smell. And we took her into our home and fed her two breakfasts. She was so hungry. She, you know, one breakfast wasn't enough. And we asked her, can we help you find shelter? And now, we were not about to give her our own house for shelter. I did not know how safe she was. We had children to protect, but we did know a way to get her into some care that, into the system where she could get some shelter. And we did that for her. But before we took her to that, she asked if she could make a phone call. And we're thinking, this was back in the day when phone calls, long distance phone calls, cost money. And we were thinking, where is she calling? But we didn't ask. We said, sure. And she called her husband to assure him and her kids that she was okay. I mean, yeah, the word okay, you know, that's subjective there. But it was an awesome experience to feel like we actually brought Jesus into our home by opening up our door to her and letting her reconnect with her family. We don't know what happened to her after that. We don't know if she ever got back with her family, but it had been a very long time, many months. I think she had told us it was over a year since she had last been in touch with her family. So, you know, you never know when God is going to put into our lives somebody that has been rejected, somebody who has been considered unclean by society that we ourselves consider unclean. You know, and literally she was unclean, but we felt the Holy Spirit telling us to go ahead and do this. And it's just an example, Bill, of what I think you're talking about in this meditation.
Yeah, I again, it was a game changer for my Lent, and I think absolutely you're right on with your story and example, because there's so many out there this time of year. And you know, the other thing I'll just mention too is that, you know, this time of year, our secular culture does seem to embrace that goodwill. You know, we see it on the Hallmark movies, we see it on the, you know, Christmas songs and stuff like that. The secular culture, even if it doesn't, you know, recognize Jesus Christ very much, and even if it does commercialize gifts and presents and all that, it does seem to have a flavor of goodwill and charity out there. In your evangelization efforts, in times like in need like that, think about how you can play off that during this time of year a little bit, because the secular culture does seem to embrace that goodwill toward all men type of flavor.
And in this day and age, I think goodwill is more lacking than it used to be. And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, in our culture, we have a lot of hatred towards people who are of a different political party, or people who are Christians are persecuted more. And it's very easy to get upset with people who don't believe like we believe and accept us for who we are. But we are called to see in everyone the presence of Christ, and realize that we help give birth to Christ when we welcome people in some way, you know, not necessarily into our homes. Maybe God will give people that opportunity who are listening to this, but there are all kinds of ways that we can let people in and invite them to come in. And by so doing, we're helping give birth to Christ in their lives.
Amen.
Well, I thank you very much, Bill, for joining me on this episode. And anybody who would like to get a hold of this book, Bill, tell them how they can get this book.
Yeah, so I think the easiest and simplest way is for you to go right over to my website, which is patchworkheart.org, and then there's a store link on there, and all you got to do is click on, I think it says printed materials, and it'll pop up as one of the options in the store. But of course, you can find it on Amazon as well, Kindle editions, and all of that. But if you have a problem ever getting a copy of the book, the best way is to either email me at info@patchworkheart.org, or you can also text me at 424-704-3278, or that is 424-70-HEART to remember it, and text me or call me there, and be happy to work out a way for me to get you the book if you don't have the internet or something like that.
And I will also include links to this in the show notes of this podcast, which can be found at breadboxmedia.com. Well, thank you very much, Bill. And I always end each episode with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. So let us pray now. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, help this Advent, what is left of this Advent season, help this to be a very deeply meaningful Advent. Help this Christmas to become a very profound Christmas season where I come closer to Jesus than ever before and share Jesus with others. Help me, Holy Spirit, to help others give birth to Jesus in their own lives. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.